Details of the NIL impact of the Auburn versus Baylor game in Atlanta have been released, and man, it's going to be good for Auburn.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. A little bit more details have been released. Not even a little bit more. I guess all the details, for the most part, have been released on the, I guess, the NIL impact of moving this game from Auburn to Atlanta versus Baylor. The impact that will have on Auburn's NIL have been released, and the details of it are big. We're going to break those down. We're going to talk about Auburn's, I think, second decommitment of this recruiting class as a whole, the impact of that, and then got some basketball notes that I want to go over as well. But let's jump right into this. Everybody knows, and look, I know that this is a hot topic, and I know it's an emotional topic. And I know that a lot of times when you start talking about this, people get instantly mad. But I want you to bear with me, okay, as I walk through the details of this deal and understand why, maybe not justify, but maybe you can understand why the deal made sense. Okay, so let's start off with just straight off the bat. This was announced, obviously, back in October. Auburn's moving. They had seven home games scheduled this year. The home and home with Baylor, you move it to Atlanta. So now you only have six home games. And initially, that caused a lot of anger, resentment, and understandably so, because of the financial impact it would have on the area, just the fact that fans lose that home game, and so on and so forth. There were some numbers floated out about what it could be for Auburn and what it might be, and what Auburn may have to do to earn the money, and a lot of just rumor and innuendo. And then I think Brandon Marcello broke yesterday that this deal is going to end up being a $6 million NIL impact plus. Like, it could be more. There's at least $6 million spread out between multiple what they call third party entities, which I would imagine are just going to be different companies that have bought into, using this as advertising, not only to promote the game, but just to promote their brand. And then it's going to be spread out among, I believe, 24 athletes. I don't even think all of them have to be football. Like, it may bleed into some other sports. And then there's going to be other rev share opportunities. So, right off the bat, you're going in and you're going to be able to be handed $6 million that you're going to be able to use for rev share with the ability to potentially earn more. Auburn's going to get somewhere in the neighborhood of 21,000 tickets. Baylor's going to get the typical road game allotment of like 3,000 tickets. I would still imagine it's going to be a huge Auburn crowd. So all that, why is all that significant? Let's talk about why that $6 million amount is significant and why in today's game that matters and it's invaluable. Okay, so Auburn is always going to be at a, I don't want to call it a disadvantage, but Auburn's always going to have to be more creative and work harder in the NIL space than, say, who's a team from a big market? Texas, Austin, Texas, okay? Or USC, Los Angeles. Because all of the deals, you can't just willy-nilly write checks. All of the deals have to be legitimate deals. And I put legitimate in quotation marks because, like, what, how strictly do they define, you know, legitimate deals? But you don't have the faces, you don't have the numbers in Lee County that you do in some of those other big markets. So it's a lot harder. Auburn's got to think out of the box. Auburn's got to go get things that maybe other schools don't have to. And I will say they have done a really, really good job and been really, really creative. You look at the soccer game, you look at the concert series, a lot of the different events that they're bringing to Auburn to help generate more, you know, revenue that can potentially go back to the athletes. Okay, so the average deal, when you get an NIL deal, you don't just say, hey, Byron Brown, we're going to pay you $100,000 for dude wipes. Okay, that deal has to be put on paper, submitted through the NCAA clearinghouse. I don't think it's called the NCAA clearinghouse, but it's submitted to the clearinghouse, and then they run it through whatever they run it through to either say this is a justifiable deal or not. Okay. The average NIL deal that is approved in valuation is somewhere between $7,000 and $8,000. I think those were the most recent numbers. So think about that from the aspect of a Byron Brown. Okay. Or insert any elite quarterback. Byron Brown's deal at Auburn has been reported to be, I believe, around $3 million. Okay, so how many $7,000 to $8,000 deals is that? Now, doesn't mean that his whole $3 million are all made up of those small amounts, because he would not even be able to play football. He'd be doing nothing but appearances and things like that for a whole year to justify that $3 million. But what I'm saying is, it's not like there are just a ton of million-dollar checks from businesses or third parties out there for these guys. It's going to be a lot of smaller deals. So fast forward to this kickoff game NIL deal. $6 million is going to be free and clear dropped into Auburn's NIL bucket. Okay, so this doesn't have to go through the clearinghouse. This is just $6 million, boom, free and clear. And then whatever you earn above that, boom, free and clear, dropped right into your lap. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to, you know, manipulate the numbers. You don't have to do anything. It's just dropped right there for you to be able to use. In today's game, particularly for a school like Auburn, that is just really hard to pass up. That is really hard when it's an arms race and you're trying to stay competitive. Man, it's really hard to turn something like that down. Here's another thing. This deal was signed agreement was in October. So you got to think that helped a lot when the portal opened, for them to be able to go get a Byron Brown and pay him $3 million. You know, think about the narrative about Auburn chasing portal quarterbacks the last several years. You know, Cam Ward was just a little bit over $1 million. Can't afford that. You know, not going to pay $1 million for a quarterback. And then kind of go down the line of the quarterbacks that we felt like we could have gotten, but they were just too expensive. And then you look, and Auburn's got a quarterback now that's, you know, a $3 million quarterback and one of the best quarterbacks in the country, at least from a proven production standpoint. That deal is one of the main reasons that they were able to do what they did to assemble this team and be able to get some players like that. It's going to be something that they're going to have to continue to do. Now, do I think they're going to have, you know, if we have seven home games, have seven neutral site games? No. But it could be where these kickoff games, this is the first one of its kind. This could be something that becomes more routine across the country. It could be a win for all the parties too, like a win for the home school, whoever's involved, or if it's a true neutral site game, a win for both teams. And then it's a win for the brands, because the brands are going to get a bunch of exposure on all these kids' social media platforms and things like that. So I know that it's an emotional topic, and I know that it's not fun to think that you're not going to have that opener. Hey, we went to Waco. We wanted them to have to come back to Jordan-Hare and neutral site games, even though it's probably going to be a more Auburn-friendly crowd. You just don't get that true home game bump. Maybe you give yourself a disadvantage by not playing at home. I get all those takes, and I think there's validity to all of them. But you just got to understand, again, and I've said this so many times, and I know people probably roll their eyes when they hear me say it, college football as a whole, like that we loved in 2010, 1995, 1989, is gone. It's survival of the fittest right now. And different schools have to have certain schools have more obstacles than others. And I think Auburn's very competitive, but I think Auburn's got to be a lot more creative than most. So I know that was a tough decision. Once the details are released, it makes sense. It makes sense as far as survival goes in college football. Again, I know that's emotional, but I think if you just take a step back from the emotion and look at it, you can at least say, I'm still mad about it. I still hate it, but I guess I understand why. That's all I'm going to say about that. It's a big deal, a lot of money, free and clear for the players, and I know that's going to make Auburn very competitive in the NIL space. That's why you're having success in high school recruiting right now, probably going to be primed to go make some moves in the portal in December or January as well. So we'll see how that plays out. Got a couple of things to talk about. Going to talk about a decommitment really quick and some basketball notes. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to buyauburn.com. Be who you say you are and do business with Auburn people everywhere. Go to buyauburn.com. You can check out different industries. It's not just like restaurants and bars. It's everything. It could be real estate. It could be a gym that you want to work out at on a vacation down in Biloxi. It could be, hey, I'm a golfer, and I want to see what kind of golf stuff you have. Like, we got a golf product that's invented by an Auburn guy. Like, we got all kind of stuff. And then if you're an Auburn business owner, less than $1 a day to get your business listed on here, you really can't beat that value. I mean, we're projecting this to thousands and thousands of listeners every single day. So check it out. It's buyauburn.com. We'll be back right after this. Auburn had their second decommitment, I believe, of this class. I think the first one was – no, I guess it'll be the third. Sorry, third. Tank Proctor was the early one. Then you had the running back, Kingston Miles, that flipped to Missouri. The last two commits have not been committed for very long. And now you have Cedric Simmons, the wide receiver from Selma, who committed to Auburn, and then he's flipped to Alabama. I want to make sure that I'm consistent here. I think Cedric Simmons is a nice player. Led the state in receiving yards last year. I think he has a chance to be a really good player in college. I think he can find him a niche in that slot receiver role. I don't think he's ever going to be an overly big guy. Super quick, super polished, super technical. I think he could be a really good college player. Okay, so I've gotten that out of the way. On a scale of 1 to 10 of seriousness, I think this is about a 3. okay, as far as what you could potentially, like, I've seen some people ask on social media and other places, should we be worried? It's July and you haven't had any commitment, or you haven't only had, I think, two commitments, and now you got a decommitment. Is there anything to worry about? Number one, this class is pretty daggum full. Like, there's not going to be a lot of commitments between now and, you know, December. The only thing that can really happen now to get commitments are decommitments. Number two, Alabama needed this win more than Auburn did, period. Their recruiting class is horrid. It's horrid. It's awful. It's not up to – it's not remotely close to Alabama standards, what they're used to. There are tons of arguments as to why that is, but they're about to probably miss out on a receiver whose nickname is Bama, who's, I think, the number one receiver in the class. Like, they just, for whatever reason, they're not able to go get those top guys. And they're getting pounded, I think, by their fan base, by a lot of the folks around them. So what have they had to do? They've reeled off a couple of 2028 commits, pretty big time, because they don't have to talk about money right now. Let's just get a commit. They're not talking about money with quarterbacks in the 2028 class yet. So I would pay attention to that quarterback just in general. So they reeled off those, and then let's see if we can flip one who's a lifelong Alabama fan from Auburn, and maybe that'll give us a win too, and we can kind of ease the tension a little bit. And that's what happened. I mean, I said it when he committed. Everybody in that kid's family is Alabama fans. Every single one of them. He is an Alabama fan. It was going to be really hard if Alabama ever decided they wanted him to get him. It just is. Same thing. It's a similar situation with Donovan Moore. Only Donovan Moore is a, you know, top 200 player in the country at a position that's at a premium. And then Cedric Simmons is a guy who put up large numbers at a small classification, who's a nice player, but he's a, you know, even after all the re-rankings, he's still valued where he is. So does Auburn want to get into a bidding war over a Cedric Simmons in July, or is it just like, you know, whatever. It is what it is. You can have this one. They needed him more than Auburn needed him in this class. I think that's a fair statement. I would still love to have him. I'd love to have him. If he flips back, I'd be ecstatic. But I'm not losing any sleep over missing on this kid. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. You can let me know if you disagree. I want to give a very small hoops update. Look, it's summer. You know, everybody's reported now, which is great. It's summer, and I think they can practice with coaches like 8 hours a week or something like that. And there's a few weeks that they'll take off. I think they're off next week. But some of the media got to go to a few of the practices this week. And they had some really good scrimmages. Got to see a lot. You don't get to see a starting lineup because, obviously, they're scrimmaging. They're playing each other. But you got to start to see the makeup of this team and, like, who could be really good. And you could see how this team could be really fun to watch. And one of the guys that spoke to the media yesterday, even before he spoke to the media, I was like, this guy is going to be a fan favorite. And that's Thomas Dow. They call him TD. Transfer in from Troy. I think he averaged like 14 points a game, close to 10 rebounds a game. I think this guy is going to be a fan favorite, similar to how Dylan Cardwell was a fan favorite. And what do I mean by that? Dylan didn't become a fan favorite for scoring 20 points a game and 10 rebounds. Dylan became a fan favorite because of his energy, because of his effort, and he would always seem to make those big time, like, dirty plays. Like, he'd make, and when I say dirty, I'm not talking about like he would injure other people, but, you know, the plays that don't necessarily come up on the stat sheet, plays where I'm just out hustling, I'm out energy-ing everyone. That, to me, is what Thomas Dowd's going to be. I don't necessarily think he's going to go average, you know, 15, 16 points a game. I think he has the ability to score 15 in a game. But what he's going to do is he's going to be the guy that makes the big offensive rebound. As a matter of fact, I think in one of the quotes he had yesterday, that's like one of his most favorite parts of basketball is getting an offensive rebound because it just makes everybody mad. And I even saw him do it a couple of times. He mentioned it that he goes, every time I get an offensive rebound, it's like I laugh because I know how mad it makes everybody. And I mean, I saw that with my own eyes. He's going to be a really, really fun person to watch. It's really cool to see, you know, a lot of the new guys start to get their feet underneath them. This team really seems to like each other. I think that's, I know that seems like a small thing, but even with only being here for a very, very short amount of time, they seem to like each other. It doesn't seem like everybody's like, gosh, can we get this over with because I can't stand this guy. Chemistry is a big deal. And chemistry, I think, is going to be one of the big bonuses for this team this year, at least early. We'll see. There's a lot of time until September. You saw the announcement of the Florida State balling at Boutwell matchup in the preseason. That's really cool. You had Oklahoma State last year. You went into overtime, and honestly, Steven said it, that overtime game probably helped them, even though it was a poor opponent, probably helped them, you know, end up winning that game against Bethune-Cookman that went into overtime because you had a good opponent early on to kind of get that experience, I guess, of having to go into overtime. So you're getting to play Florida State, another solid opponent. You get in the preseason that doesn't necessarily count. It's kind of the opposite of what a lot of people do. They play their tough games. They play their easy games first and then kind of ease into the season. You get a tougher game to start off with, and then when the season gets here, you're ready to, you know, hit the ground rolling. So that's good stuff. I think this team's going to be fun to watch. Let me know what you think about that. Let me know what you think about the recruiting. Let me know what you think about the NIL. Impact of the opener going to Baylor. Again, I understand everybody's feelings about that. I understand being mad about it. I think it's okay to be mad about it. At least try to understand why, though. You can still say it's not worth it, but at least try to see it from the other side. That's all I'll say. Y'all have a great day. We'll talk again very, very soon. Make sure you like. Make sure you subscribe. Hit me with a comment. We'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.